send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right. Get back to business here. It's Baseball Central for Monday, April 20th. Jeff Blair alongside the one and only Kevin Parker.
How we doing?
We're doing well. We're doing a hell of a lot better than the Blue Jays.
Oh. You said it's early. It's early until 1st of June.
No.
Right?
June 27th is when I start worrying. Not a day earlier. The Toronto Blue Jays are 6-7. They lost their series to the Atlanta Braves. Probably not the way you wanted to start this homestand. They're 2-5 in the homestand, I do believe. They've got three more games against the Baltimore Orioles. First game tomorrow. They've got today, first game of the three-game series, I should say, goes tomorrow. They've got today off. And, boy, they need an off day after yesterday's loss to Atlanta, 5-2. Dalton Pompey, well, I don't know how to put it any other way. Dalton Pompey had a hand in all five Baltimore runs, misplaying a fly ball or a line drive to center field for a double, a bases loaded double. It wasn't scored an error. You can't score it as an error, but he clearly misplayed it. Made a throwing error later on in the game, a costly throwing error that allowed a run to score and also allowed a runner to move up to third base and score in a sacrifice fly. And on a day, Kevin Parker, when Daniel Norris was just this side of mediocre, a very tough day for the Blue Jays. And then to make matters worse, this is what Dalton Pompey had to say after the game.
My whole life I've played aggressively. You know, for some reason, the last 10 games or so, I haven't been as aggressive as I can be. And it took a situation like this for me to realize that I have to go back to the player that I was and continue to be aggressive. And, you know, if you make aggressive mistakes, then no one really, says anything.
Now, you didn't hear it in that clip, but nope. He used the phrase, he was scared, that he thinks he's been a little scared through the first 10 games, or through 10 games. He said that. Daniel Norris came out after the game and said that he was dealing with a dead arm, or going through a dead arm period, which isn't quite as drastic as it sounds. A lot of pitchers go through a dead arm period, and essentially what it means is it's just the ball, you're not generating the velocity. You don't have the feel you normally have.
Does that mean you can't throw strikes?
No, it does not mean you can't throw strikes. Generally, it means that your strikes are getting hit hard. But here's the thing, Kevin. And we are, by the way, going to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, because you haven't had a chance to talk to Kevin. There's a lot to talk about after the weekend. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Kevin. First of all, one, for Daniel Norris, I don't think you ever come out and tell somebody you got a dead arm. And two, for Dalton Pompey, I understand what he was saying. He manned up yesterday. He mm-hmm. stood in front of the media. He said, I apologize to my fans. I apologize to my teammates. I apologize to my coaches. But, yeah, at that point,
stop,
you shut
right
it off,
there.
Don't you?
Yo, well, why would you come out and say you're scared? When you're a young guy, you want to do well. Everybody knows this. This is not a surprise to anybody that you're coming on a big league team. You made a serious jump from the minor leagues to the big leagues. You want to do well. That's a given. You make a mistake in the outfield. You make two mistakes. You make one by misplaying a ball. You make one by throwing a ball over the third baseman's head. So be it. You come out, say that, stop there. That's all that needs to be said. And I think when it gets right down to it, and John Gibbons said last year something about the clubhouse. Well, I think this, from what we're hearing from Dalton Pompey, this is when the veteran leadership in that clubhouse needs to step up and walk over to his locker and say, this is how you play the game. This is how you talk about the game in baseball. When you do something wrong, you come out and admit it, stop there. Walk mm-hmm. away, whether you say no comment, this is whatever. I know as people in the media, we hate hearing that. You would rather hear that from a young guy than you would for a guy coming out and saying you're scared. Because I'm going to say this. we're not the only guys that see this. We're not the only guy that pulls up BlueJays.com and third line down says Pompey's scared. I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos has seen this. John Gibbons is seeing this. What does it do to Dalton Pompey now? Do you if you're John Gibbons, do you still play Dalton Pompey every day? It would be hard when you're trying to win. You need every guy on deck. I'm not trying to be too hard, because baseball is one of the hardest games to play there is on an everyday basis. But there's times you say things and there's times you don't say things, and you can talk yourself out of a job.
Mm. Well, and one of the things I want to throw out there, and again, we'll take your calls at 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Kevin, I wonder if maybe all this talk about how the turf is playing, how this field is different than it used to be, I wonder if maybe that isn't getting into the heads of some guys, especially a guy like Dalton Pompey.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of it has to do with how he started hitting. I mean, you can say it any way you want. We saw Russell Martin get off to a really slow start. You know, he came out in the media and said that it's not bothering. You can see it when he plays that it was. They're human beings. When you don't do well to start a season, you're a human. You want to come out and get off to a hot start because it's easier. Mm-hmm. It's easier when you get off to a hot start and then you have some struggles. Everybody struggles, but it's easier to struggle when you've went 10 for 20 and you're hitting really well and then you go 0 for 10. It's easier to do it that way. But when you start off slow, it's just very hard to do. And I think a lot of it has to do young guys. I've said this before. You've said it before. This is why GMs go out and pay for been there and done it. Mm-hmm. Because been there and done it guys don't say things like this. They don't let early struggles bother them. They overcome them a lot quicker than young guys. Not saying Dalton Pompey is not going to be a great player, because I'm sure he's going to be what he is down the road. But right now, when the Blue Jays have this season going, and this season means so much to them on and off the field, I think this is where the line's drawn. Basically, I think there's no excuse for it. I think you have to man up, and it's time to man up. That's all I'm saying.
Daniel Norris didn't have a great game yesterday. We've had one Jays starting pitcher give the team seven innings so far mm-hmm. this year. That was R.A. Dickey on Saturday, who kind of bobbed and weaved his way through seven innings. The Jays won it for him on the long ball, I might add, not small ball.
How many have they won with the long ball? There you go.
Almost as many. I would say more than they've won by bunting their way into happiness.
Well, you know, are you going to make the playoffs doing that? We could argue this.
Yeah,
forever.
I don't necessarily want to argue that. But we're getting this is what we're getting to, because I know you want to talk about Aaron Sanchez as well before we get to calls. Mm-hmm. Getting back to Dalton Pompey for a minute, Michael Saunders is probably going to join the team at some point in the next mm-hmm. week. What do you do? What do you do? You've got Kevin Pillar. You're almost obligated. Look, I think Kevin Pillar is eventually going to be the fourth outfielder. I've been on the record of saying that. Mm-hmm. And that's no problem. That's not a slag against Kevin Pillar. He's going to be a fourth outfielder who gets a ton of at-bats. Mm-hmm. But the way he's playing right now, if Michael Saunders comes up, don't you put Pillar in center, Saunders in the left, and Batiste in right? And if you do that, when do you look at Dalton Pompey and go, son, you've got to go down to AAA?
Like I said earlier, I think it's time you have to start hitting. You have to start playing the game the right way. And the baseball is different at this level than it is in the minor leagues. At this level, you have to make adjustments and make them in a hurry. It can't keep going on for weeks at a time like it is in the minor leagues. They have a longer leash in the minor leagues. Right now, as this team has to win, everybody knows this. And it's going to... we're going to have to talk about it a lot more when they're losing, because mm-hmm. the season means so much to them. I think Dalton Pompey, after this day off, I think you're going to see a different Dalton Pompey in the field, at the plate. I think it's going to be a more of a sense of urgency. I think that's the way it should be. That's the way the game should be played, as if every day is your last. And I think you're going to be seeing that more from certain guys. That's just the way it is.
I guess one of the possibilities is Dalton Pompey has swung the bat with more authority from the left side. His batting averages are much better. It's a small mm-hmm. sample size, but he's got a couple of doubles, a couple of homers. Perhaps you platoon, or not platoon, but perhaps you kind of use that as a guideline with Pillar and Pompey. But, you know, you've got other issues in this team offensively right now, too. Devin Travis took a pitch in the ribs. X-rays were negative, but we don't know what his status is. John Gibbons told us yesterday after the game that he thinks Jose Reyes is going to be able to okay to play and just bat from the right side because of the left rib injury. All of a sudden, that offense that you're frankly counting on to carry this team is starting to look a little threadbare. Well, but, we're only we're April 20th.
Yeah, sure. Well, Batista's not swinging it like I'm sure he'd hope starting the season. Edwin's not swinging it that way. Now, those are two guys, I think, like no others that you won't worry about. They're going to figure it out and figure it out in a hurry. But again, it's going to get down to pitching. Mm-hmm. We talk about this all the time. We talk about this team's going to score more runs and whatever the case may be. But how do you stop teams from scoring runs? Well, first of all, you look at how they always give up runs. It's either two out walks or they're giving up the big inning via a walk. How do you stop doing that? How do you start throwing strikes?
All right. Well, here's the thing. I want you to, and again, we will get to your calls, but I want you to address the situation with Aaron Sanchez, because I think we're both on the same page here. We both think Aaron Sanchez is going to be in the bullpen. He'll get another start. John mm-hmm. Gibbons has already said that. I don't know who goes into the rotation after that, but I know that the wheels are spinning. And I should say the wheels are turning. Hopefully they're not spinning. I know the wheels are turning. And Kevin, at some point we're going to see Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen. I think it's going to be in a week to 10 days, but we may both agree on that. Mm-hmm. Who goes into that spot in the rotation? Marco Estrada?
I would think so. I think he's done enough the last couple of times he's pitched that I think he's thrown enough strikes. He's keeping it in the yard. Last mm-hmm. year he had a huge problem. All you got to do is look at stats and see the guy that gave up more home runs than anybody. That was Estrada. Well, the last couple of times he's pitched for the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center, he hasn't given up a homer. If that's the only way you're going to look at a guy to keep it in the yard, that's one problem. The Blue Jays pitching staff has two problems: walking people and giving up more home runs than anybody. Well, right now Estrada's not doing that. I think that's your first choice, but long term, you would think Alex has to go get somebody. They can sustain this for a little time, I'm sure, and I'm sure that if Sanchez goes out and throws seven scoreless innings against Baltimore, we'll be having a different conversation. But mm-hmm. if he doesn't, then you move him to the bullpen. That solves problems at the back end of your bullpen. Also, we can look at it that way too. Which from the seventh inning on, we can both agree they have a real tough time of stopping mm-hmm. games and closing out games from the seventh inning on. If they're gonna make the playoffs, we can say it the way it is. They have to throw strikes and keep it in the yard. Can they do that enough? We're gonna find out.
Let's go to Paul in Hamilton. Pardon me, Paul in Hamilton. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Say hello to Kevin Barker, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. It's great to have this opportunity to speak with both of you. Thank you for that.
Oh, no worries. Thank you.
I'm looking at it from a different point of view. I think they're lucky to be 6-7. When you look at who hasn't produced, Batista, Encarnacion, Martin, Donaldson, average-wise, we expected a lot more than that. It'll come, no doubt about it, but it hasn't happened yet. Leading the league in home runs, American League in walks, starting pitching has not been there at all. Yet we're 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at it from that point of view, we could be 2-11, 3-10 right now in the other team. If these guys come back like they will, we all know they will do, and the starting pitching comes around a little bit more, I think that we got a shot. Yeah, I think Sanchez should be maybe one more start, maybe two, put him in the bullpen. That solidifies the back end of that, and then we look for a starter. The one thing that upset me on the weekend about the Atlanta series is there was a reliever in Grilly, I believe his name is,
yep,
that the Jays possibly could have had. He didn't sign till Christmas Day or something like that.
Yep.
He was available. Look, there's an example right there of an area that really was not taken care of in the off season. Okay? But there's somebody right there that could have been in a Blue Jay uniform. He's leading the National League in saves. Those things like that, kind of upset me as a fan.
Yeah.
Any responses, and I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. I got to tell you, I know that Russ Martin wanted the Jays to sign Jason Grilly, whom he caught in Pittsburgh for a couple of years. And that would have been the kind of almost under the radar signing you would mm-hmm. like to have seen. I mean, I said at the time, I really wanted to see the Blue Jays bring another bullpen arm in. I know you can't address everything. I know you can't address everything. And as I always say, that ain't my money. But I really do think that in addition to Russ Martin, I think the Jays had to go out and add another bullpen arm. I've said I would have gone after Andrew Miller, and I would have brought him in here. But again, not my money. It's not my team. I have no say in how the team approaches things. But yeah, you look at a guy like Grilly, and Kevin, you do need your starting pitchers to give you innings. I mean, one of the reasons Jason Grilly's got six saves is because the Braves starters have done a pretty good job. But I just think that when you have that veteran guy at the back end of the bullpen, a guy with a track record, especially early in the year, there's something to be said for having been there and done it early in the year. Maybe later on in the year, you know, Jason Grilly loses his stuff. He's just, he's an older guy. At that point, then you got a young guy. Then maybe an Aaron Sanchez fills that role. But I'll tell you what, right now, I'd rather have Jason Grilly closing while I'm waiting. I'm trying to figure out what the hell to do with Aaron Sanchez than Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna, and or Brett Cecil. No disrespect to them, but no. I'd just rather have the veteran guy close.
Well, I think you're saying with Castro, even when a guy that throws really hard with not a lot of movement, he falls behind, you know you're going to get hit because big league hitters are looking for some straight stuff, and it's hard. You need power arms with some movement in this park, especially. The American League East is known for small parks. Ball flies in most of those parks. You need power arms in the back end of that bullpen, and you need veteran guys. You need a guy that can stop games that doesn't have his good stuff on that day. How does he get guys out? How does he keep it in the yard and stop the bleeding? That's what you need to do when you're on a playoff team and you have a good team and a team's fought back to score some runs for you. You need to have that arm in the back end of the bullpen. I just don't – if you know, Paul obviously is one of those guys that's half full. His glass is half full, not half empty, which is great to hear. But if you look at their rotation and you look at their bullpen, you have to be realistic. It's just, can they sustain enough innings and enough power arms in the back end of that bullpen to get it done? Right now, I just don't see it. And I think if Aaron Sanchez has a bad outing this time, his third time through, I just think you're going to see a change there. I think it's going to take care of some things. Not saying they're not going to have some problems with their starters, but every team has that. How do you minimize? How do you shorten games? I think Sanchez would do that in the bullpen.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Keith in Mississauga, you're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Hey, Blair, Barker, just a good old boy. How's it going?
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man?
Good, thanks. Good. Just two concerns about this team this year. One, I want consistent offense. I'm not expecting the guys to put up, you know, 8 or 9 runs every night, but, you know, I want to see them put up, you know, 2 or 3 a night, you know, so they're not losing. You know, Dickey's out there begging for a run. I just want to see them put up, you know, 1 or 2 runs a night, where, you know, some nights we're not getting anything. And my other one is definitely the bullpen. You know, you got some guys in there who haven't even seen a game with AAA, and that definitely worries me.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing you have to do, me and Blair always talk about playing a little small ball. You have to figure, I think, the word's out, in, especially around baseball, that how do you get power hitters out? You flip them soft stuff in, and you pound them hard away. And that's what every team so far is starting to do to the Blue Jays, because it's hard to elevate that hard stuff away, especially in these small parks like the Rogers Center. So I think they're going to have to figure – We're gonna keep having this argument, me and Jeff, for quite some time. But if you want to make the playoffs, I don't think you're going to be able to do it leading baseball and hitting home runs. You may. I may be eating crow at the end of the season, but I just don't think track record-wise, it says in baseball that most teams aren't going to win and make the playoffs hitting home runs. Regards to the bullpen, I think Alex is going to have to do something. He's going to have to go out and get a veteran guy. How do you do that? You may have to give up a prospect. You may have to give up one of these really good arms to get that veteran guy that knows how to get guys out with some movement that maybe doesn't have his stuff every day. There's something to it. There's something to that guy that knows how to do it, has been there and done it. And I just think it's going to have to be done sooner than later.
John in Toronto, you're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Well, two things. As far as the offense goes, I look at some of the teams that have won the World Series the last little while. And, you know, they didn't light my skirt up. Like San Francisco Giants, they didn't have hardly any hitters. The Red Sox 2 years ago, they didn't have one hitter with 25 or more home runs. Not one. Mm-hmm. Not one 25 or more home run hitter on their team 2 years ago. This year, but back to the Jays, they need some pitching. And I, you know, and if people tell me that guys aren't available or aren't around, that is, I just look at that and that's just crap. You know, I see these guys dropping all over the place. You know, Travis made a point, why don't they go get Belfour? He just got DFA'd by Tampa. I look at Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell got traded by, for what? Salary relief? That's basically what he got traded for because I didn't see anybody else going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I see these guys going to teams for next to nothing. And I don't care what Woolner says about how great these prospects are. They're just prospects, and some of them aren't even that good. You know, James Shields. Or get a starter in here. Dylan G's still available, isn't he? And he can pitch. They don't need a god. They just need a guy. Like, I don't want James Shields. I just want a guy that goes out every 5 days and pitches. Pittsburgh had three guys last year, including Francisco Lariano, that were all free agents and went for $10 million or less. I know it's not my money. Really, I do. But they're they dropped a lot of salary too. Let's try and remember that. You know, Brandon Morrow's pitching in San Diego right now. Well, all these guys are like Jay Happ. You know, you say what you like about him, he could have benefited tremendously from having Russell Martin back there. He's the kind of guy that needs a Martin-type catcher like Lariano. And suddenly, you know, he's going to have a good year in San Diego. I have no doubt of that.
Yeah, I'll bet that Brandon Morrow will be in the DL in about a month. I had no problem with not bringing back Brandon Morrow. Same reason I didn't have a problem bringing back Josh Johnson. I mean, I don't got time for that. And I know what you're saying about some of the other pitchers that went. And look, I made the point. I'm with you. I would like to see a little more experience in here. But, it is what it is. And I also said the same thing you did, funnily enough, that, you know, it's not my money. But this is the rotation you have, and this is the rotation John Gibbons is going to have to work with. But to Kevin Barker's point, yeah, I'm a big believer that especially at the start of the year, I like to have a bit of track record. I like to be running out guys that I know, I have an idea what I can expect from them. I can plan accordingly. Maybe I've got, and I'm not saying you go out, Kevin, and get all sorts of, you know, 35-year-old crud throwers, but get some guys with a bit of a track record so I know, you know, I know what's going on and I know how I can plan it.
It's a simple game that can throw strikes when it matters. That's right now the issue with the Blue Jays is, they're having a super hard time, whether it's mechanics, whether it's overthrowing, whether it's trying too hard, whether it's being scared. Who knows what all of these things are? Whatever it is, you need to figure out a way to throw strikes. And until you can do that on a consistent basis, the more strikes you throw, I'll say this, the more strikes you throw being an ex-hitter and trying to hit guys that throw super hard, the more strikes you throw, that means you don't have to be fine with secondary pitches.
Yep.
And when you're not as fine with secondary pitches, you can get away with it late in games. And I just, until the Blue Jays start doing these things very, very consistently, we're going to see the up and down thing. And we're going to have to come on this show and wonder why they can't make it to the playoffs. It's a simple game. You catch it, you play defense, and you throw a lot of strikes, and you get an occasional hit. And can the Blue Jays sustain this an entire season? I think that's yet to be seen.
Let's go to Tom in Waterloo. You're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Current pen is 2.02 ERA with an 0.90 whip. That's without Hines and Redmond. But anyway, Copeland, Jenkins down in AAA, both ground ballers. I wouldn't be surprised to see them sometime this year.
I'll tell you what, Tom. I can tell you that Scott Copeland's a guy that you may see Scott Copeland up here. You may see him up here next week. I mean, he is the guy. He's the guy at AAA that the Jays have their eye on. He's a ground ball machine, and he certainly. I don't know about Chad Jenkins. We all know the issue with Chad Jenkins. They're trying to get Chad Jenkins to throw his cutter, and Chad Jenkins has got to be able to throw it for strikes. He's got to be able to have confidence in it. And I mean, once he does that, and once he shows he has it, I think he can be back up here. But Copeland's a guy you keep hearing a lot of people in the organization talk about. And is he going to be the long-term answer? No, but he is a ground ball guy. And I think at least initially he's going to be a guy that will get a look here.
Well, you know, it's you say how the Braves came in here and beat the Blue Jays. They turned a bunch of double plays. That means you have to throw ground balls. That's sinkers. They throw some cutters when they need to, when they're not looking for it. You start in and you end up away. It's no secret. That's how you pitch in small parks. Balls that hit to teams that hit a bunch of home runs, you have to throw ground balls. Braves had a great plan when they came here. Besides Tehran, who came in here and gave up home runs, probably won't happen again. Point being is you need guys that throw hard with some sink. And again, we get back to it. Me and Jeff, we've been talking about this from day one. Aaron Sanchez, we didn't know what he could do as a starter, but we did know what he could do in the bullpen. I'm saying I think sooner than later, you may see that happening in the back end of a bullpen, which would help a lot of things fall in place.
Right. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're going to have a discussion about Brett Laurie's excellent adventure this weekend in Kansas City. And we're going to continue to take your calls when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, the Jays have today off, but we don't have today off in Baseball Central. It's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker continuing to take your calls right up to the top of the hour when Hockey Central at noon will join, because it's noon. Andy in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Thank you, guys. First of all, I'm going to imitate one of my favorite movies, Rocky.
Okay.
When Mick came up to his apartment begging for a job, and he goes, "Rock, you need management. I didn't have management." And I think everything comes down to management. And, you know, if we were, not that we can't, but if we were be able to spend like the Yankees and the Red Sox, I think Martin at, what is he going to make in a couple of years, $20 million might be okay. But I think that's going to hurt us, you know, in the next couple of years, if not, you know, by the time his contract starts running out in 4 or 5 years. And a couple of other things, and then I'll ask your opinion on something. I'm going along with Kevin with the small ball. I'm that kind of a person. I think that a run in the first inning is just as important as a run in the eighth inning, just same as a win in April is as good as a win in August. I remember years ago, back when the Yankees were in their heydays in the end of around 2000 and stuff like that, I'm not sure if it was. I was at the gym on a treadmill watching the game, and they were playing against the Blue Jays. Blue Jays went up 1-2-3 in the first inning. Bottom half of the first, I think Bernie Williams was leading off anyway. The first guy got on, and Hall of Famer Derek Jeter, sitting around 300 around those years, he lays down a bunt to move the guy over to second base. And then the last thing I'm going to ask your opinion about is we're always told here in Toronto we over-evaluate our talent, whether it's hockey, basketball, or whatever. I think everybody does that. But are we in that situation, especially with these young pitchers, Hutchinson, Sanchez and Norris? Let me hear what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's overevaluated them. I think we've all said they've all got really good arms. They've all got really good stuff. They're young pitchers. They may not work out this year.
Yeah.
But in terms beyond that, there's a reason I didn't call this team to go to the playoffs, and I'm just saying that right now. There's a reason I didn't think this team was going to be going to the playoffs. I think they're a bit too young, personally. I'd rather err on the side of having good young arms as opposed to, you know, retreaded pieces of crud throwing 83 miles an hour, unless that happens to be Mark Burley, which has worked pretty well for him. Beyond that, you know, I think that for so many years, the Blue Jays have talked about the need to develop homegrown, cost-effective starting pitching. They've talked about the fact that to be successful, you essentially have to get your pitching on the cheap and then use the resources you have left to build your lineup. That seems to be what a lot of teams are doing to be successful. If you look at teams like the Cardinals, you look at teams like Kansas City, I mean, the sustainable small to mid-market teams, that's how they do it. They spend money elsewhere. They get cheap, cost-effective starting pitching. That's what the Blue Jays are working towards. Is it all going to come together this year? I've told you, I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this organization's in pretty good shape for next year and the year after that. And maybe they catch a bit of lightning in the bottle this year because it's not a very good division.
Well, I don't think, to me, it doesn't matter about next year. I understand that, you know, it's nice to have all these guys ready to go for next year, year after. I think it's win now. And I think if Alex and John Gibbons had better options in spring training, if they had older guys that's been there and done it, you may not see as many young guys on this team as we're seeing. But this is what they had, and this is what they were saying, I'm going to take the best 25 North. Well,
that's right.
They did it. They took the best 25 North that they had, and you know, we've been saying from day one that there's going to be a lot of growing pains. Now, you notice most of these young guys had to make a team. I'll make this point. Had to make a team out of spring training. You come to spring training ready to go. Daniel Norris had to come to spring training. He wasn't throwing 90 miles an hour in spring training. He was throwing 96, yeah. 97. Basically, he was in midseason form because he had to be. He had to make a team. I think these things matter. Are they going to figure it out? We're gonna see if they figure it out.
Mark in Horseshoe Valley, you're on Baseball Central.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I just want to make a comment. The Jays got all these bats, and they're not getting any younger, and they're not winning with them. So why don't they trade a bat and get some pitching? Like, I don't understand. World Series aren't won with having five guys hitting home runs. Like, you got Batista, Encarnacion, Donaldson. You know, you got about four or five guys that just hit jacks. You have to trade one of them. Because obviously it's not working, the system that they have going right now.
Well, so I mean,
why not trade one of them? You can't pull pitchers out in the fifth inning.
I'll tell you why, Mark. Because you're not going to get an established starting pitcher necessarily. If you just trade one of those guys, starting pitching is, I mean, it's a gold standard now. Nobody's going to give you a good young starting pitcher. I don't even know if they would do it for Jose Bautista.
Yep.
I don't think anybody would give you a good young starting pitcher for Jose Bautista. That's just the way the game is now. Everybody's focused on getting good young pitching in here. And, you know, if you're going to trade Jose Bautista, and I'm just pulling Jose Bautista out here. You're talking about any of the hitters. Automatically, you're dealing with teams that think they have a chance to contend. Because no building team is going to take Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion. So automatically, you're dealing with a team that thinks it has a chance to contend. I got news for you. No team that has a chance to contend is giving you a good pitcher. They're just not. Big hitters are awfully hard to trade right now. They really are. Young starting pitching is the gold standard. And that's what you're talking about. Because if you're the Blue Jays, you're not going to trade an established bat for a 33-year-old pitcher who's a year away from free agency. You're just not.
How about a Cole Hamels? Throw that at you. I'm just saying, would it be tempting to call Philadelphia and say
Philly won't make that. You know what Philly would want for him? Philly would probably want Osuna. Aaron Sanchez or Osuna, yeah. And Jose Bautista. I'm not doing that for Cole Hamels. Gonna go back to this past weekend. I'm gonna shift focus a little bit here away from the Blue Jays. Brett Laurie this weekend, Friday night, just a hellacious slide, takes out Elcides Escobar. Escobar gets injured. The dugout's clear. Saturday, he gets hit by a 99-mile-an-hour. He, being Brett Laurie, gets hit by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Yordan Ventura. Ventura gets thrown out of the game. Sunday, Brett Laurie gets a 100-mile-an-hour pitch thrown behind his head by Kelvin Herrera. Herrera gets thrown out of the game. The dugout's cleared in both of those instances. A little bit of background here. There are more batters being hit in the major leagues right now than we've seen through the first couple of weeks of any season recently. I mean, the percentage is outrageous. The Kansas City Royals alone have had 15 hit batters so far. That's an awful lot for this early in the season. So we're going to talk about that, but here's what Brett Laurie had to say to reporters yesterday when he was interviewed and asked about his excellent weekend in Kansas City.
Do you think there's going to be punishment for him?
100%. How's there not? You think they're just going to get away with that? That's absolute shit. Kidding me? Don't throw behind someone and then walk away when you throw 100 miles an hour and say the next time that I face you, I'm going to hit you in the head. That's shit. When you go like this and you're walking away and you go like this next time I face you in the head, that's some bull. And he needs to pay for that. That ain't okay. This is a game. This isn't going up there trying to hurt people. This guy doesn't throw 85 miles an hour. He throws 100.
That was Brett Laurie. Now, and what he was referring to is Kelvin Herrera, as he walked off the field, pointed to his temple. And that's when the Athletics emptied their dugout. And, of course, the Athletics players essentially thinking that Herrera was saying, hey, the next time I see you, it isn't going to be behind your head. It's going to be at your head. Herrera, of course, said, no, I was telling them to think.
Really?
Yeah. Kevin Barker is a guy who played in the majors. You saw those incidents. First of all, the slide. Did you have a problem with that slide?
No. When I played, it was just an unwritten rule that that's what you did. Basically, I think when I was coming up, it was, if you don't do that, you're going to get fined.
Now, you didn't have a problem with spikes high. His spikes were high.
You're trying to break up a double play. You're trying to, we can say a lot of things about Brett Laurie. Playing hard is one of the things that he does very well. To me, I did not see, okay. How's that dirty?
I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't have a problem with it.
Of course, me neither. I think that's the way you play the game. Baseball has totally changed from when I played until now. Basically, right now, it's a little bit of prima donna game because things like this don't happen. And you can see right now, I think you can see both sides of the dish. The Royals are thinking, well, you hurt my player, I'm going to hurt you. And Oakland's saying, hey, we win by playing hard every game. Mm-hmm. We win by playing the game the right way. None of these things are going to change. The A's are not going to play any different than the way they've been playing. And I'm sure the Royals, I'm sure we haven't seen the last of this. I just think when it's handled, and it's handled that day, which Ventura handled it, he hit Brett Laurie, it was over. Mm-hmm. Walk away, that's done. Now it's 2-0 Royals, and I don't think it's going to stay 2-0. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see this is going to be an ongoing thing the rest of the year. And, you know, it's Lorenzo Cain mentioned it well, saying that I hope this stops because I'm tired of
running in.
Yeah, it's I'm tired is what he said.
And here's the thing that people need to realize is when this sort of quid pro quo stuff happens in baseball, the Kansas City Royals hitters now – I'm sure they appreciate their pitcher standing up for him.
100%.
But at the same time, Kansas City Royals, you're going up. The next time you play Oakland, God, you might as well be in body armor because you know what's happened.
It's going to happen. I don't know when the game has changed like this. You play the game hard. You play it the right way. You don't go out trying to hurt people. Ventura throws really hard.
And you made the point. Now, he hit Brett Laurie on the side.
Yeah.
Brett Laurie turns a certain way. That ball's deflecting off him into his face.
It goes through his face. That's how hard he throws it. And then we're talking about a whole different thing. I just think you got to be real careful when you're a pitcher and you're taking up for people. You got to understand how hard you throw, and you're basically in charge of that whole situation. Meaning, if you go above the waist, that's a whole different game to me. I just Brett Laurie handled that a lot better than I would have handled it, a lot better than guys that I played with mm-hmm. would have handled it. I'm going to give an example. Say Johnny Gomes. I played with Johnny Gomes a long time. You talk about a hard-nosed player the way he is. He gets hit like that. I think things happen in a different way. Not saying that's the way it should have happened. Just the game's changed. And again, I don't think we've seen the last of this. We should have. The first day, you do your thing, we do our thing, it's over. But Herrera all of a sudden is taking it to a different level, and now it has to be escalated into when we see you again, we have to step up because it's 2-0. You can say it's 2-0, and now it's a shame that the game is taking it the way it has. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm very Brett Laurie, to me, has grown up. I think the old Brett Laurie that would have been here 2 years ago, that might have went a different direction. That might have went a different way. But he handled it a lot better than I would have.
You know what it's time for? It's time for Kevin Barker's three strikes.
Batter up! It's time for Barker's three strikes!
I feel like I'm in the Dukes of Hazzard soundstage right now. All right. John Lester, we agree. Great pitcher.
Yes, very good.
John Lester can do just about anything.
Except one thing, that's throw to first base.
My God.
A guy makes $155 million for 6 years, cannot throw a ball to first base. Maybe hire a sports psychologist. Maybe hire Dr. Phil. I don't know.
He threw the glove the first, didn't
he? To me, it's a bit of a joke. For that reason, I have to go.
Strike one.
All right. You know me. You know I like seafood.
Of course.
You know what my favorite fish is? You know what my favorite fish is?
What's that?
My favorite fish is trout.
Mike Trout became, did you know this? Mike Trout became the youngest guy to be 100 home runs, 100 steals. He became 23 years, 253 days. You know who he surpassed? Alex Rodriguez. Who cares? He cheated.
Strike two!
And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Canadian ball players here. Dalton Pompey. Jeff Francis came up yesterday. Well, good to see Jeff Francis. Russ Martin, of course, big story in Toronto. We've kind of forgotten about this other Canadian-born ball player, this other kid from Etobicoke lately.
Well, he maybe played first base for the Reds. You're talking about Joey Votto. Going into yesterday, he was hitting .350 with four homers, 10 RBIs in 11 games. Don't know. He's a pretty good player. Joe Maddon, they played the Cubs last Monday, said, and I quote, "He's back for that."
Strike three!
There you go,
you're
Kevin Barker's.
Out.
Kevin Barker's three strikes. Joey Votto. Joey Votto is
raking.
Yeah, he's absolutely raking. And it's interesting, boy. A lot of people were off his bandwagon. A lot of people were off his bandwagon very quickly. But Joey Votto, it appears, is back. By the way, didn't get a chance to do this in the last hour of my show. We're giving away a trip for four to Washington to see games 3 and 4 of the NBA series between the Raptors and the Wizards. We're picking a qualifier every day. Today's qualifier in the Jeff Blair Show was Tanya Lushney from Oshawa, Ontario. So your name will go into the pile for this great prize. Round trip tickets to Washington, three nights at the Renaissance downtown, which is an outrageously great hotel. VIP pass, all you can eat, all you can drink to see the Wizards and Raptors play. And yeah, you get a weekend in D.C. in the spring, which is pretty sweet. So Tanya Lushney, you have qualified. Brady and Walker will pick a qualifier today as well. And then the grand prize winner will be announced on Blundell & Company on Thursday morning. So, had a little bit of fun today. Stirred up a little bit of controversy on Twitter. That's great. It's a good thing.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes the truth hurts.
It's a good thing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often the truth hurts, depending on who's administering the truth. I was going to play in Paul
Don't
Pierce.
Don't be scared,
Paul
Jeff. Pierce. Don't be scared.
I'm not scared. For Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us in Baseball Central today. No baseball tonight. A crap load of hockey, though. And then tomorrow night, the Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles get at it right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, they will start their three-game series. You want to hear somebody whine about how bad the turf is at the Rogers Center? Just wait till Buck Showalter gets a hold of it. For Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Have a great day, everybody.